Green Magis.
You're listening to another episode of Pick a Disc, and I'm your host, Matt Latham, here to talk to someone else about an album they've picked for whatever reason they want to talk about it for. This week, my guest is Jess Byard from the One Season Show along the We Made This Network. We talk about Tame Impala's Currents, and we talk about the themes of the album, we talk about the songwriting, we talk about the music, we even mentioned the artwork briefly. And it's a nice conversation that we had about how the album resonated with her and what it means with her as well. As always, if you like what you're listening to, give us a rating on iTunes. Follow us on all the social medias if you're listening to us through the website. To subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And just tell people about this show that might not be good, might be good, depends, you know. Just spread the word about. I'm not fussy. Anyway, that's all I need to say. Let's talk to Jess. So I'm currently collecting and going through the different hosts on the We Made This Network, particularly you're the other host of the One Season Show. So because we had your co-host Chris talking about the Talking Heads, and the question and the ice-breaking conversation that I had with him was about one album wonders by artists, but I didn't want to repeat that question. I didn't want to repeat that question to you again. So I'm going to slightly go on the same topic, but make it slightly more personal. As in, have you got any? If the disc you've picked answers this question, then fine. We'll go deep into it. But have you got any of your own one album wonders where you've got artists with several albums but only listened to just the one? Do you know of? Your own personal one. Album wonders.
My own personal one. Let's see here. I really have been enjoying, it's actually new. It just dropped not that long ago, but the Chromatics' newest album, Closer to Gray. I enjoy the Chromatics. But I'm not super familiar with them. So I can't really point out a specific album, but this specific album that just released from them has just stuck with me, and I've been listening to that. I listened to a lot of that in October. It just had that, you know, nice fall, eerie Halloween feel to it. And I don't know, there's just something about it that has clicked with me.
Jess, why don't you tell the lovely audience the disc that you've picked for today?
Yeah, I picked Currents by Tame Impala.
Yep, Tame Impala is, I think, a music project by Australian multi-instrumentalist Kevin Parker, who just pretty much does everything except clown himself when he plays the songs live.
Like musical auteur.
Yeah. I knew the name, but for ages, just because of where they seem to be on, like, festival lineups, on festivals that I've been to or follow. Mm-hmm. I always just assumed there was, like, a four-piece indie rock band, like kind of like the Arctic Monkeys for some reason. But, This is a very, this is another episode where my understanding or my perception of what an artist is was kind of, I was surprised. My expectations.
Subverted.
Subverted. Yeah, that was the word I was after. So, why have you picked Currents?
I definitely, going back to the sort of icebreaker discussion, this was sort of the one album that I listened to by Tame Impala for a while before I sort of branched out and started listening to their other albums. And like you, before I, this is to sort of brief the audience, this is kind of my first time being on a podcast or doing anything other than just being in a room with friends where I'm talking about music. I'm a movie TV person, and that's definitely where I've, you know, talked on the internet, various podcasts, written for various websites, but it's always been about the television and movie genres. Music for me is something that I love, but it's like I'm not a musical person. I can't play anything. I like to just kind of tinker around with instruments. So when, like you, I was like, hi, oh, I discovered Tame Impala and I really dug it, and I thought that it was a multi-person band as well. And then come to find out Kevin Parker's just musical genius. And he wrote, produced, recorded, mixed all the music, recorded all the different instruments for this album, primarily from his home setup. And that's just like goals. Like that is huge. It's a huge amount of inspiration. Because when I'm not writing and talking about movies and TV, I am a filmmaker on the side. I work in video production in my real life, and I, write shorts and things like that. So seeing this person who creates such a vast, I mean, if you go and listen, like I said, this was the first album I listened to by Tame Impala, and it was the one that I sort of stuck with for a while before really branching out into other stuff. I had heard, a song here from Loners and a song there from other albums that he had put out, but this is the one that I really connected to. And this one, I think, you messaged me when I had picked this, and you said you pictured them being more of like a rock band and not so much synthesizers. And honestly, this is like the album that he kind of like gets into the more electronic feel. And I think that's probably why it appealed to me so much, because I'm a huge synthwave fan. I love synth music. I love all of that. And while I love, the whole discography for Tame Impala is great, and you should check out all of it. And I love the neo-psychedelic rock. I love that absolutely. But the mix of it with the electronic pop synthesizer is just, it creates a fantastic, super cohesive, flowing sound.
Yeah, I just don't know how I've pictured that. I don't know why I got that image of them. I think it is mainly because of the kind of lineups and the kind of festivals that they did and stuff.
If you've seen Kevin Parker, like, he looks like a rock band guy. Like, he has super long hair, and he, dresses that way, but it's just him, and that's, I don't know, it just blows my mind, and it's incredibly inspirational.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that it's a lot to do with the, okay, because I've always had a fascination with like the TV production and everything, but I've never got delved into it. I mean, technically, I used to have like a, as yourself, I used to talk, I was talking on podcasts about TV and movies, and because I had like a website for about 2 years where it was just like a blog where I was talking exclusively about TV, and even a failed podcast about TV more than once. But that is very much a very team effort. And you don't really get much, you don't get people who seem to try and do everything all on their own. Whereas,
no, I mean, you definitely have the auteurs, but even still, auteurs need a crew. Like, you need gaffers and grips and electricians and, peep set builders and stuff like that. Most, unless you're making, your own indie low budget stuff where you're utilizing, I did one this summer, just this quick thing that was just for a group of friends, and we just used my apartment. we spent maybe $30 on just like a couple props and things that we didn't have. But other than that, it was just stuff that I had borrowed from work and my apartment. So you can do it all, but I still needed actors. It wasn't just me. Like, this album was just Kevin Parker sitting in his home studio, mixing music, recording instruments individually, and then putting all like that just. And like I said, I'm not a musically inclined person, and people who are fascinate me, people who understand music. Like, the idea of recording instruments separately and then putting them together just kind of boggles my mind. Like, having to just maintain that consistency through the instruments is a skill that I do not have, but I absolutely admire.
So, to carry on with the metaphor then, I think, carry on with this metaphor slightly, it's kind of like the fact that the creative process that he does is done all by himself, and the fact he manages to do the whole thing by himself. But then when the only time he ever has other musicians is when he's playing them live, which, if to carry on with the metaphor again, that is when you like apply actors to play roles when you,
right.
When you perform, it's the same thing with say, Tame Impala, who does that, who has actors or has hires people to play with him. Yeah, yeah.
But he's basically got extras. Like, that's he's got stand-in or extras that kind of... And, I mean, I'm not saying that to belittle them because they're musicians and they do a fantastic job. But for him, yeah, it's like he records this all by himself, but you can't, unless you have 16 arms, you're not going to be able to feasibly do all that. Sure, I suppose he could just come out and sing and have all the music played over speakers and fantastic light show and all of that, but it would sort of, I think, take away some of the depth, you know, the depth and richness of the sound if you did that.
Oh, okay. Okay. So how did you discover Tame Impala? Now, you mentioned that this was like the album that you first really listened to, but you did hear others first. How did you learn of them, and how did you listen to this album? What was your origin story?
My origin story. So it's pretty recently, I guess, in the span of like music discovery. This wasn't like, you know, I didn't discover them in high school. It wasn't. I'm actually not entirely sure when when Tame Impala started, but my introduction to them was about 3 years ago, I think now, and I was on the road for a documentary that I had been working on with, still working on with the company that I work for, and we would be on the road for, I think at this point, this would have been a 3 week trip, so it's a long time, and we're hitting... At that point, we were hitting the West Coast, so we were in California and Nevada, and that was basically where we were at that time. And it was my first time doing anything like this. My previous job, you know, I went to school for PR, which isn't really what I wanted to go to school for, and then I worked at a bunch of just crappy, just run-of-the-mill jobs, stores, restaurants, the like, and I had worked at a couple movie theaters, which I loved, but that wasn't really where I was, what I wanted to do. And I'd always loved film and I was, you know, a creative person. I'm a writer. I've always, since I was a kid, like that's what I've been doing. And getting the chance to actually work for a video production company that was not only in Akron, Ohio, which is where I'm from and where I'm recording from right now, which is in the United States and, you know, nowhere pretty much for as far as the rest of the world is concerned. And knowing that this, getting involved in this company and getting to go on the road meant that I got to work with equipment and stuff that I'd never been working with at all. And the people who knew how to use this stuff and who were, you know, super helpful. And we formed, you know, I formed really good friendships with them. And that's kind of where I started like hearing Tame Impala and, you know, more MGMT, which I always liked, but it hadn't really gotten too much into them. Unknown Mortal Engine, a variety of other bands, but Tame Impala, they used to play a lot when they would be setting up for this documentary, like just setting up the interviews and everything. Cause you gotta have fun, it's work, but it's, you know, it's long hours and you gotta amuse yourself. And so thankfully I was on the road with people who had pretty decent music taste. So a couple songs that they played, you know, came up for this and I wrote them down and later on got to, you know, look more into Tame Impala. And this album, I noticed, was where these same, you know, the three songs that I had written down were all from the same album. So I was like, okay, I got to check out the rest of this thing. And then that was it. I loved it.
Okay. So it was kind of like, was it just like played... Did they just play it in the background just to have something on while they were setting up? So you just have like someone just locked on a playlist and like an in the background and, oh, okay.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. It's just like, and it's like people, you know, we're all relatively the same age from, you know, different backgrounds, but we're all working cohesively as a team on this project. Like I said, long hours away from home for weeks and having this sort of like camaraderie of bonding over music. Especially when I was coming to a job that I was totally unfamiliar with. And for me, like, that's major anxiety. If I, you know, I like to be in control of what I'm doing and know what I'm doing. So being thrown in this different situation, it was just a nice, you know, just melding of personalities and skills and talking about what the music was and you know, just learning together, I guess.
That kind of leads nicely into talking about the songs themselves. I just want to point out Currents was released on the 17th of July in 2015 on Modular / Universal, so it is about 3-4 years old. And this is usually the part where I ask you about any songs that jump out in terms of highlights when you think about the album. But slightly deviating from the norm, I'm quite interested to know what the three songs you said you'd written down were.
Yeah, so those songs would be the first song, which is Let It Happen, the third song, which is The Moment, and the fourth song, Yes, I'm Changing. And I think that those songs, all three of those, kind of really represent sort of the overall theme of the album, which I read a few reviews, you know, before I did this, wanted to, you know, be prepared and have notes, like, you know, I'm a responsible adult. And yeah, just talking about the overall theme of sort of personal transformation and, you know, commitment to evolution, I think is one that from NPR said. And I think that those three songs really highlight that theme. The whole album does, obviously, but those three, particularly for me, stand out and, you know, resonate with me personally.
Yeah, there's, yeah, because they pretty much kind of like have the sound kind of has that kind of almost ambient feel of like you could have it in the background or something, like you said, it was in the background that people were setting up, but as things are happening in the foreground. And the themes of the album as well, there's the one of the things I think when I was doing my own research as well, because, you know, I also did research, because he's a really weird podcast host that doesn't, that don't do research. Yeah. I learned that mistake once.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, so like one of the things I think in an interview, I can't remember where it was from, was on about the fact that things happen and you can't really do anything about it because people change or things or situations change or transition, as you said. And the title itself, Currents, has like a couple of interesting levels of levels of like meaning when it comes to this, which we'll probably talk, we will delve into a bit more. Example, there's the current as in events happening in the present there and then, which a couple of the songs in interviews that he said, or when he's talking about them, it's about things that you can't control happening there in the current moment. There's the word current as well, kind of like has the idea of like the current of a river, where, and that has been used as a metaphor, particularly if you're swept up in the current of something, you kind of just swept up and you've got no control as you're pretty much dragged down a river, which is like kind of like very similar to some of the stuff that happens in the album itself. And this is a stretch, but I quite like it anyway, the electric current, the electricity current.
No, that's my favorite one. That's I think that, and you know, I was reading, the cover of the album is like a depiction of vortex shedding, which I was trying to figure out what exactly that meant, and I don't think that I quite got it, but it sort of loops into that electrical feel. And yeah, I that one is the one I think that resonates with me, even if it is a little bit of a stretch. It's just those constant zaps of reality, or those zaps of like life happening at you, and you have to either roll with it or you burn. That's just how it is.
Yeah, I do quite like the artwork. It's got a very early 90s Amiga kind of CGI feel to it, which is good. There's a lot of thematic resonance and cohesiveness in this album. So yeah, and as you mentioned, like the couple of songs, Let It Happen kind of opens it with this kind of weird like electronic kind of thing to like that. I mean, when I first listened to it, I was driving to work, and I didn't realize it was 7 minutes long, which is kind of rare, because longer term listeners will know my views on longer tracks, but
I'm a big fan of longer tracks.
I
going into the sort of neo psychedelia or just psychedelic rock, I think that's pretty standard for that style, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I've been listening to a lot of King Gizzard and the Wizard Lizard. Lizard Wizard? something like that. A lot. And they have so many tracks that are like, you know, 8 minutes or so long. I love it. I totally understand people who are, you know, I totally understand the opinion of maybe not so much. But for me, I think what in this album in particular is a good example of that, going back to sort of what you were saying about, you know, having it on the background and foreground, where it's sort of both presence, you know, presents itself in both states. And I think for me, the best way to describe it per my background is like it has a cinematic feel to it.
Yeah.
It's a cinematic album. And I think, you know, longer tracks like that sort of give way to that feeling. I'm a huge fan of scores. That's a large, you know, I love film scores. That's one of the things that I like to focus on when I'm watching, especially because being a huge horror movie fan, there's a lot of interesting scores to go along. And it's sort of that moment where, like, you can be, I don't know if this is where you're going, but you're riding along in the car and it's 7 minutes. When I do stuff like that, I'm like, I feel like I'm in a movie, you know, like I feel like I get that feeling of just being in a movie, or just, I don't know, being entirely engulfed by the song, and that it like sort of bleeds into my reality.
No, yeah, definitely. With, and talking about some of the Let It Happen kind of like has a bit where it kind of, I thought my phone had like frozen at one point, because there's a bit where, and I think, and again, referencing previous episodes with the Lemon Jelly episode, which was like the first instrumental one we did. And this is an instrumental, but there's a lot of periods where there's no lyrics. It does something that I kind of thankful for, in that it doesn't kind of keep repeating the same patterns over and over again. It kind of does mix things up, and there's a bit in the middle of the first song where it looks like the tape's jamming, or the song kind of stops and repeats quite for about like about 30 seconds. And basically to, I think it was there just to wake me up, just to keep me focused. But I think it kind of as well, and then like the next, but then leads to like a very short track anyway. Mm-hmm. So kind of
like a little interlude.
Yeah. Like the second track in. So it kind of unsettles you to what you think might just be an album of longer kind of psychedelic electronica. But, yeah. And the moment I want to point out, because I quite like the moment actually, but the start of it has a very 80s New Romantic feel to it.
It does, yeah, very much so.
Because it, for a moment, because it, the start sounds so much like Everybody Wants to Rule the World as well.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, hear that.
but it kind of has that kind of like moment, for lack of a better word, where it kind of like has a kind of nice background music. Again, it's, I keep using the word ambience, and I don't mean it as a negative thing, actually. It invokes a certain atmosphere. Yeah, it invokes a certain atmosphere, and which is like kind of, which I think is kind of unique so far in terms of the albums that we've had.
The three songs, and those three songs, Let It Happen, The Moment, and the one we're about to get to, which is Yes, I'm Changing. This album, you know, you said it invokes a sort of feeling, a sort of atmosphere, and that's absolutely 100% true for me, and that's a large part of why I picked this album. In particular, this album's been, you know, playing a lot for me in the last year or so, because, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been going through a lot of just different, you know, transitional moments in life. Like I said, I'm about to be 30, which, you know, is what it is, and I don't hate it, but it's a new decade. It's a new thing. And, you know, I've had some jobs up and downs in the last few years, and finally getting in a space where I'm comfortable where I'm at. I'm learning things, and I'm, you know, allowing myself to be more myself. And I think that this album is really like, it's connected to me a lot. And the lyrics in particular in these songs, you know, that we've talked a lot about how the artistry of the music itself, but the lyrics of these songs hit me very personally. And like I said, in the last couple of years, I've just, for me, have been going through, you know, just evolving as an adult, evolving in my creative work, and, you know, evolving, trying to figure out what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and how I want to, you know, pursue things, and how, you know, I've transitioned from being solely a writer into sort of wanting to take, you know, directing on and creating my own visual art, things like that, things that I have not really delved much into in my, you know, past, but I hit a point where I was like, I can't just be writing solely anymore. That's not good enough for my, you know, that's not for me. It doesn't satiate that creative drive that I have anymore. And I had to make, you know, decisions on, okay, how do I want to do this? This means you have to learn some stuff that you don't know how to do. And that's going to take time and it's going to be hard and whatever. And then that just making that choice and having that constant drive is great, but it's also exhausting. And I think this album really captures that, where it's like, you have to let life hit you and you have to roll with it, because if you don't roll with it, you're just going to get pounded down into the ground. And, you know, and Yes, I'm Changing, there's a lyric where, you know, he says, I caught a glimpse, I'm going after it. They say people never change, but that's bullshit, they do. And that line hits me really hard, because I don't know, like, we've all heard that old adage of, it's like, oh, you know, people are who they are. They can't, you know, once you're a certain age, you're not going to change, or whatever you think is how you are. And that is bullshit. It's just a way for people to basically give up and stay in whatever problems that they're staying in, because it's easier than making the exhausting effort to constantly better yourself and constantly follow paths that might be uncomfortable, even if you want to follow them. You know, even if you know that it's good for you, it's, people get complacent. And I think that, not just for me personally, you know, I live here in the United States, and, you know, the last couple of years have been very tumultuous for a variety of reasons. And I think that people everywhere are coming to terms with, like, okay, am I going to actively fight all the change and things that I can't control and that are just going to happen to me regardless of, you know, whatever? Am I going to really waste time and energy fighting to stay the same and not evolve and not try and, you know, roll with the punches and have a better life for myself? Am I going to waste all that energy, or am I just going to let it happen? Which was not my intended pun, but I guess.
Yeah, which is the first title of the album, right? First song of the album. But no, I understand that. There's a particularly with some of the lyrics on the album as well, because I've always, particularly, I think Yes, I'm Changing.
I mean, really, that whole song, like all of it, yeah. Every line in that song is very deeply personal to me.
I think probably not this song. There's another song, which kind of reflects on the issue. Might be the next one. I can't remember. It might be eventually. I'm not sure. But the idea that people are three dimensional and complex mm-hmm. beings, and it might have been the previous episode, but it might be a different podcast. But I do remember having saying something very similar in that. I've always had the belief that one of the key milestones of maturing or growing up is the time where you realize that everyone has got their has got a three-dimensional, multi-layered emotional core within themselves. So, like,
including yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like, I mean, like, okay, it might have been the last episode, I can't remember, I only recorded it last week, where you're like, the idea where you're kind of like a moody, self-involved teenager whose troubles are just surrounded by themselves, and that ventures into young adults, like the early 20s, where you kind of like still have that mindset, but you've got the opportunity to explore more of the world. But then I think by the time you get to your mid-20s and onwards, then there's a moment where you kind of realize that you're not the only one that's changing, people change, that what they're going through is probably somewhat similar than what you're going through. And you can't just take people from face value and stuff. And I've always thought that the moment people see that, you level up in terms of,
yeah,
in terms of maturity. And I think something like this covers that album, because there's a lot of introspection in this, where Parker kind of like explores that idea again with this one. And I think eventually the next track is very similar to that, but I think from what I've been gathered that he calls it the emotional core of the album, and that reluctantly agrees it is kind of a breakup song at the same time. But I do like the idea, the chorus says that, you know, he kind of admits defeat that he's coming across as the bad guy for initiating a breakup. He goes, but I know that I'll be happier, which is the first line, but I know you will too, which is,
yeah, that's a huge admission there, where it's like, yeah, I'm made bad decisions and I made bad choices, and maybe on surface right now you're upset about this last bad, you know, this last choice I made, but we will both eventually get to a better place and we'll be better people after it, despite the, you know, badness and all of that came before. And I think that, like, the song, you know, it doubles as a breakup song, like, even with, you know, look more introspectively, like a breakup with your old self. I mean, if you want to be a person that is constantly, you know, evolving and changing, and you actively do that, then you have to also be the person that acknowledges the shitty things that you did beforehand, and, you know, the mistakes that you made and the times that you wasted and all of that. And then you have to learn to be okay with it, or at least forgive yourself for it, so you can move on and be happier and be a better person.
Okay, so with the second half of the album, or the last, like the second half, are there any songs that jump out for you in terms that help carry that theme, or any ones that just stand out in general?
So the first three songs that we mentioned were Let It Happen, The Moment, Yes, I'm Changing. The other three that I had starred were Eventually, The Less I Know, The Better, and then New Person, Same Old Mistakes. Both of those things, I think, you know, both of those songs, all three of those songs, I think you could probably direct more to, like, a specifically, if you want to say that these songs are more specifically about a breakup, then I think more the existential songs on the first half of the album, I could agree with that. But I also think, like I said, I think it's more, you know, a sort of departure from an old self as well. And The Less I Know, The Better, you know, that hits me on just like, that hits me probably on more of a level with, like, you know, past relationships I've had with people, you know, be it romantic, be it not, you know, just relationships in general with people. You get to that point sometimes, like, there were jobs that I had that I enjoyed until I, you know, too much, or you've been around the people for too long and, you know, all the bad shit just infects your brain, and then you can't think about anything else other than all of the things that just are wrong or, you know, irritating, whatever they are. The less you know about a situation sometimes, the better off you are, because, I mean, you don't know what kind of box of worms, you know, can of worms you're going to open up in certain situations.
Last song, New Person, Same Old Mistakes, was then covered by Rihanna. Mm-hmm. By Rihanna. And put I was going to listen to that, but didn't have time to at the end. But it was, I think it was also used in, like, teasers for Atlanta with Donald Glover as well. And I think, doesn't surprise me at all. I think a lot of the songs on this album could be used for TV trailers. And
I think so too. Yeah, it goes back to that cinematic feel. Yeah.
Yeah, but the final song, New Person, Same Old Mistakes, kind of, it had, again, the title's kind of, like, unsubtle at times, where it talks about, yeah, okay, so people have transitioned and changed, but they still can have the same, flaws and stuff.
And I think that's, you know, for me, again, it resonates pretty well, because, and I think for anybody who's trying to just make advances or make progress in something that they feel passionate about, you know, finishing projects for me, or, you know, whatever it is that you're passionate about, you have goals and you have objectives, and you know also that you have things that distract from that, or that, you know, prevent, you know, you have your own flaws that sort of enable bad behavior, or enable, you know, again, those same old mistakes, those same old pitfalls that you have been falling into, for no matter how much progress you've made, no matter how much, you know, farther you get ahead in life or whatever, there's still those same little things that have been plaguing you your whole life. And I think that for me, you know, I don't know if the inevitable answer there is that you inevitably just have to accept that those are the flaws that you have, and that maybe those things aren't going to change as much as you would like them to, but they can still change a bit. Or maybe, you know, maybe you can overcome all of those flaws. I don't know yet. I still have things that I'm, you know, trying to overcome, you know, my own like procrastination and things that, you know, I feel keep me behind in certain aspects. We all have those things. And I think that, yeah, you're constantly, it's that little devil on your shoulder, angel and devil situation where it's like, you're making all that progress. You're doing a good job. You've stayed on that routine. Good for you. You lost 5 pounds. Cool. Whatever. And then there's the devil saying, hey, eat that candy bar, or hey, whatever, you know, you can, you have one more day left on this project. You can put it off for another day. There's all that stuff that's there all the time yelling at you, no matter how much of a new person you are. I completely agree.
Okay. So, before we move on, is there any other songs we haven't talked about that you want to quickly bring up, or?
No, I mean, the whole album is great. I mean, every song I love, I think those six are probably the ones that, you know, are, you know, the ones that make the album for me. But yeah, no, if I just listen to all of it, it's all great.
Oh, okay. So the reception of the album, it received acclaim. So it was received positively by critics as well. On Metacritic, the album holds an average critic score of 84 based on 38 reviews, indicating, I do quite like the fact that Wikipedia puts this in inverted commas, universal acclaim. So, for example, Ian Cohen of Pitchfork gave it the best new music designation. Harley Brown from Spin referred to it as the purest and most complex distillation of everything that makes the band such a nearly physical pleasure to listen to. Alex Denny of NME praised Parker for his musical transition, writing, "Fuzzed out guitars simply aren't where Parker's head is at now, which strikes us as a fair trade-off from a producer pushing at the outer reaches of his talent." And there's like other instances of good reception and stuff. And if I look at its positioning on the charts as well, it went number one in Australia, which is his home country, of course. It also went to number one in another country, which was Holland, of all places. It reached number two of the rock albums Billboard chart in the US, and went to number three in the UK. And it pretty much what was in like the top 10 for quite a few countries. The lowest on Wikipedia is like on Italy, it went to 31, but it's fine. I think it just reached it was quite high up in a lot of end of year charts as well. So it was pretty much good. Did well anyway across there. It sold over 500,000 copies in the US. So it went gold. It went gold in the UK as well. It went platinum in Australia. Gold in France, Canada, Netherlands, Denmark. So it's done quite well.
Good, I'm glad. Tame Impala is not, you know, I picked something more off the beaten path, but I was saying that in comparison to David Bowie. And who is just, you know, everybody who is alive knows at least who David Bowie is or knows a song. Tame Impala is not getting played, you know, on regular radio if people still listen to that. I don't. I listen to Spotify and whatever other music, you know, YouTube and all of that. But I'm glad that it received acclaim and got really well reviewed because it's a great album. It deserves it.
Have you ever seen them live?
I have not, unfortunately. I really want to. I think they actually might be on tour or going on tour soon. So if they're coming anywhere near Ohio, I'm hopefully going to be able to pick up some tickets and check them out, because I would absolutely love to. Definitely on my to see list.
Yeah, there's. I think they've just recently announced. Well, they've or he.
He plus the extra band people that he takes with.
it's kind of weird when like a project is named, but it's mainly just one person and touring people. But I think there's a new album coming out. I think in 2020. Touring that. So there's the chance that they'll probably be touring anyway. So or at least I know that I if they are now on festivals that I'm at, I probably won't. I'll probably check them out anyway. So
and they're going to be touring with MGMT too and Claria.
Yeah, which because you mentioned MGMT actually, and there is a lot of similarity actually, particularly with this album and the only MGMT album I listened to, which was the was it the first one? It's the one with Kids and Waiting to Pretend on. Or something spectacular. I can't remember what the first name of it was, but there's a lot of crossover, so I can kind of, see him, them touring together works quite well. So, have you listened? So, you made reference that you listened to some of their earlier stuff. If like me, admittedly, this was myself or listeners first foray into the Tame Impala. Where's best next to go?
I would say, like I said, this is probably your most like electronic sounding album. So any other ones are going to be more than like psychedelic rock guitar sound. But I would say either Lonerism or Innerspeak. Those are, I think Innerspeak was like 2010 and Lonerism was 2012. Lonerism is very much like, you know, it's introspective, but it's more about the introvertedness of it. Whereas like Currents is about trying to get out of that, where it's like, you know, I can't just live in my own head all the time and shy away from things all the time, where Lonerism is sort of like discovering, you know, talking about that aspect of it, of being, you know, sort of your own, in your own head all the time. Innerspeaker is one that I'm probably not as familiar with, like track listing. Like, I know I've listened to it and I know all the songs on it. I just can't tell you specifically all the songs that are on it. but that one, that one has a lot of songs by them that I do enjoy. So I would say that either of those are probably going to be a good next step.
Oh, okay. 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 So which leads us to the most important part of the podcast, the Hall of Fame Spotify song of choice, where you add a song from this album to the Spotify playlist to be immortalized for as long as Spotify service lasts.
All right.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's like just my choice permanently typed in there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's going to have to be Yes, I'm Changing.
Yes, I'm Changing. Why is that?
That song that's the one that hits me deepest. That's the one that I have recognized in myself a lot of change in the last couple of years, as I said previously, and not all of it, you know, it's all been good change, but I'm not saying it's all been easy change. And I think acknowledging in yourself that you have changed is very important. On the other aspect of just other people in my life, people who have come and gone, new people in my life who have, you know, new friends and everything that have changed my life for the better. You know, I got married 3 years ago and that's been fantastic. I met my, you know, now best friend and also creative partner who I made a short with a couple years ago, and she's been very impactful on my life. So yeah, it's just that remembering that you're changing and other people around you are changing too, and you have to be aware of that, and you have to let people change. For if they're changing for the better, if they're changing and they're doing something for themselves, you have to let them do that, even if it makes you, you know, uncomfortable or it makes you feel a little more distant from them. It's all a learning process, and we're all doing it all the time.
Well, with that, it's time to bring this to a close now. So Jess, it's been great to have a chat with you about Tame Impala, and for me to finally actually sit down and listen to them, because I've not listened to them at all since before then. If people want to find you or look into all your creative endeavors and podcasts and all that kind of stuff, where can they find you?
You can find me primarily on Twitter at writer Jess Byard. That's writer, W-R-I-T-E-R, Jess Byard. I pretty much everything that I'm working on, I promote there. I am on another podcast with one of your former guests and also in the same network as we made this, Chris Stashio and I host the One Season show, and we are about to record our last episode of the first season. But basically, the podcast follows TV shows that only lasted one season. So we don't have to follow a whole lot of commitment, but we do have to suffer through some really terrible episodes. But you don't have to, so you can listen to us suffer.
Yeah, because you're more or less finished. Just gone through your first TV show, which is Werewolf.
Werewolf.
Yeah, which yes. Like in the late 80s on the Fox Network, was it, I think?
Yep, 1987's Werewolf on Fox. And yeah. It is a trip. I would say that if you are a fan of the kind of, you know, if you're a horror fan or if you're just an 80s cheesy TV fan, definitely check out a few episodes yourself, watch it. It's a trip. But also definitely check out our podcast because we cover the whole season, all of it, every single episode.
It's one of those podcasts where I think it's a lot more entertaining if you haven't watched it. But
right. Probably much more entertaining. Yeah.
But so I definitely recommend listening to the One Season show, which you can find on the We Made This podcast network, which is
And with Chris, I also am occasionally on Chris's podcast, which is the Culture Cast, which is like a movie review podcast. Every month is a different theme. Last month was October, so we did horror movies from the year 2000. I was on a couple episodes of that talking about Ginger Snaps, and I forget what the other thing I talked about was, but it's up there. And I think this November he's doing Noirvember, so if you're a noir film or neo-noir film fan, definitely check those out. And then we were also doing a sub-podcast for his Chronicles of the Crypt, which is a Tales from the Crypt podcast, but we were we're doing bonus episodes on Shudder's Creepshow. So if you're a fan of the Creepshow anthology films or the new show or just horror in general, check all that out.
Yeah, I definitely recommend them as well. So that is what we've all got time for. Again, I just can't thank you enough for agreeing to come on the podcast. It's been brilliant to have a chat with you.
Thank you, and you too.
You've been listening to Pick a Disc, and I've been your host, Matthew Layla. Our theme music is Pump by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Pick a Disc is hosted by the We Made This podcast network, and you can find them on www.spreaker.com/user/WeMadeThis. You can find the Pick a Disc show site on www.spreaker.com/show/PickADisc. You can find us on all the usual social media type places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter under Pick a Disc. You can also email us on pickadisc@gmail.com. Until next time, happy listening to all those discs that you are picking. Goodbye.